Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's pray as we come to our passage. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you how it speaks to us. Lord, we pray that you'd open our hearts and minds to your word today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How is your walk? How's your walk with the Lord? Has anyone ever asked you that question? Do you understand what that means? The meaning is this, is that when we are walking through life without the Lord, we're just going in our own direction, and then we come into relationship with Him by putting our faith in Jesus. He turns us around, and He walks with us, and we walk with Him the rest of the way. That moment of coming to faith in Jesus is really exciting, and sometimes it's just an ecstatic moment, or you're crying, and you just can't believe how you feel, but that's just the start. It's the start of a lifelong journey with the Lord, just walking with Him every day. And so that moment isn't the end of it. Oh, I put my faith in Jesus, I'm saved. Oh, good, I'm going to heaven. Now I don't have to do anything. You don't necessarily have to do anything, but you want to do something. You want to walk with the Lord. You want to walk with Jesus. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and I have a couple of images I wanted to show you. And just thinking about that relationship with God. And I want to show you a picture here. So you might recognize these two people, a parent and a child walking along the beach. Aren't we cute? That's me and Bella. But when I think about that relationship, that's the relationship we have with our Father. He walks with us. He walks with us through life. And it's not this lecturing in your face, I want to teach you something all the time, although sometimes I do that with her. But it's, we're going to walk along together. We're going to go through life together. And that's a great way to think about our relationship with the Lord, is just to think about just going along together. And, you know, I was thinking about Billy Graham's crusades, his evangelistic meetings that he would have in cities all over the country, all over the world. He would go into these cities and he would preach the gospel, and hundreds and thousands of people would come down and walk toward the front. But what he did before those meetings is he would contact the churches in that city, in that region, so that those people who were coming to faith would then be able to walk with the Lord. And they would be discipled at that point, because Jesus didn't say, go and make converts. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. So we're to walk and we're to grow in that. And I just want to tell you, this is my hope for you, for everyone who comes to our church as part of our church family, is that you will grow. And you will walk in the Lord and you will grow in your faith. That is my primary focus. It's not really anything else. Any of the other events and things that we do, hopefully they all feed into that, but really what matters, what my hope is for you, is that you'll walk with the Lord and you'll walk closer and closer with Him, and that you'll follow Him. Because that's what Jesus said when He came upon people. He would say, follow Me. And they left all their stuff and they followed Him. And I thought of another analogy here, and I want to show you a video. And again, the same actors in our video here today, as you saw in the picture. But this is at Mount Wachusett. And the picture will get a little better as it goes along, but I'll give you the background for it. Bella was second or third grade, and she had learned how to ski. She had gotten pretty good on the beginner slopes, and we moved up to an intermediate slope. And the intermediate slope wasn't that hard until you got to the last descent. And it gets pretty steep, especially for a beginner, a new skier. And she had fallen a couple times getting down there. And I said to her, look, just follow Me. Just go in the same path, in the same direction that I go. So let's play the video. And you'll see up at the top, that's not me. That's someone else. You'll see over in the corner here, there's me. And this is, you'll see in a minute, that's my little pink shadow. All right, there we are. Watch me and watch her. We are flying. And she made it to the bottom without falling. And that was a great day. All right, you can stop it. Thank you. And what a picture of our relationship with the Lord. You get to that tough point in life, you don't know where to go, and he just says, follow me. Do what I do. Say what I've said. Follow my leading. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're just supposed to follow him through life. And with that in mind, I want to pick it up in 1 Thessalonians 4. And this is verse 1. Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. And he says, as for other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. And I just want to say something really quick there before I move on. That word for live there, the literal word is walk. So I'm going to read it again. We instructed you how to walk in order to please God, as in fact you are walking. So, talking about our walk with the Lord, we are supposed to walk with him. And it goes on to say, now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. And the idea is, we're walking through life with the Lord. We're going with him. And what I find interesting, you know, if you have kids, one thing that you'll notice is that you can teach your kids a lot of stuff, and that's good, but in the end, what they end up doing a lot of times is just imitating you, for good or bad, right? They'll just copy something that you said. Hopefully you're saying good things and you're doing good things, and there's an expression, more is caught than taught, is that when you have these little kids, they grow up to kind of be little you. Use. And I notice I say things to my kids that my parents said to me, and it comes out of my mouth, and I said, wow, I didn't realize that. And I've heard that my kids say things back to me that I know I've said, and sometimes they throw it back in my face. Dad, didn't you say this? Yeah, I know I said that. So they hear you, they listen, but our relationship with the Lord is a walk, and the closer we can walk with him, the more we will be like him. And that's the goal, to be more like Jesus. And just continuing on in verse 3, it says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. And I'm going to stop there for 1 second. Sanctified means being made holy, being made in the image of Jesus, being made more like him, and being dedicated and devoted to him. So that time when I talked about going for that walk and Jesus turns you around, he wants you to walk with him, and so that you become more and more like him, so that in every situation you do what he does, you say what he would say, you live like he would live, you think like he thinks, and you want to follow along that path. So it says this, verse 3 again, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. And then he continues on to talk about living this holy life, and he says that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that in the manner no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish all those who commit such sins, as we told you and warned you before. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction does not reject a human being, but God, the very God who gives you his Holy Spirit. And the idea is this, if we're going to walk with the Lord, we're going to do what Jesus did. Jesus would never give in to temptation. He never did. So he was pure, he was holy, he always did his Father's will. It mentions this sin of sexual immorality. And that sin, the Greek word is porneia, and you can guess what English words we get from that word. And the idea is this, anything that comes under the category of relations outside of marriage between a man or a woman. And he mentions that particular sin, probably because in that city, that was prevalent. It's also prevalent today. And he also mentions other sins here in which you just follow what your body wants to do. You just seek pleasure. You seek after things that feel good all the time instead of looking at the bigger picture and asking yourself, am I pleasing God? There's more to life than this physical world, and there's more to life than just the moment. Immaturity usually involves just living in the moment and not thinking about the consequences or thinking about the future. And I think about one man in the Bible, a guy named Esau, and a lot of you probably heard of him, but he was the son of Isaac, as also was Jacob. Jacob and Esau were brothers. And Esau was the firstborn. And Esau had the birthright. He had the blessing. He had the inheritance that he was supposed to get as firstborn. But you don't hear about Abraham, Isaac, and Esau, do you? You hear about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And one day Esau was coming off the field, and he was tired and he was hungry, and he needed food. And his brother had soup made. And he asked for some soup. And his brother Jacob, and I'm not saying this is a good thing, Jacob said, I'll give you this soup if you give me your birthright. And he did it. He was so hungry, he traded it. For that moment, that bowl of soup, he traded the blessing for a bowl of soup. Now, I'm not saying what Jacob did was right either. And he was a flawed person too. But would you give up some kind of eternal blessing just for a bowl of soup? But we do stuff like that all the time. Just for a few moments of pleasure, we stretch and make that relationship that we have with God, we hurt it. You know, I think about going down that mountain. You know, as human beings, we're following Jesus down that mountain, and then we see some shiny object over there. We see something that might bring us pleasure for a moment, and we shoot off, and we lose track of him. What's good about Jesus is he goes and he finds us and he brings us back, right? That's what he does. But we're not supposed to live for the moment and live for pleasure now. We're supposed to remember that we have eternal joy waiting for us in paradise and heaven and live for that. And so that's how we continue to walk with him. And he says we also do this in verse 9. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. So that's the idea. The Holy Spirit's living in you, showing you and teaching you that you should love. And in verse 10 he says, and in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more. The idea is this: grow in love. Become more loving. And last week I talked about love always being self-sacrificing. Love is sacrificial, so you'll give up your time, your energy, your effort, your money for the sake of another person. That's love. So we are willing to do that for the sake of another person. And this could be big things and little things. In a marriage, it could be watching what your spouse wants to watch instead of what you want to watch. Going to the restaurant your spouse wants to watch. In bigger things, it could be like what Jesus did. He died for us. But it could be anywhere in there where you're sacrificing yourself for the sake of another. Let this grow. Let me be more loving. And there's a lot of ways that we can show love. And in the next couple verses, gives us some interesting ways that we can show love. So he says at the end of verse 10 that we want to love more and more. And then in verse 11 he says, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, you should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So how is living a quiet life and working hard, how is that loving? Well, think about it. This idea of a quiet life means you're not stirring up trouble around you all the time. You're not in other people's business, always poking your nose in, always with a harsh word or just causing trouble. There was a guy I remember I used to work with in the business world. And whenever there was a conflict or a difficulty or a dispute in the company or in the office, he was in the middle of it. He was right there. And not making peace, but he was just always there. And, you know, you guys don't know him or anything. I'll just give you his first name. His first name was Phil. And I'd come in and I would say, well, what's going on? What happened? I heard somebody yelling at somebody else, and somebody would eventually say, oh, it was Phil. You know, just always, just in the middle of someone else's business, in the middle of the conflict. And my message today is don't be Phil, okay? And if, I don't know if we have any Phils here, if you know any Phils, I'm sure there are plenty of nice Phils out there, but that's not how we're supposed to be. That isn't loving. And it also says in here to work hard and work with your hands. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a construction job. You can work on a computer with your hands. You can do a lot of different things. But the idea is work hard so that you can be an example for outsiders, so that people can see that you have good character. And there was something going on in the Thessalonian church that we read in Paul's second letter, that they were waiting for the second coming, so much so that they stopped working. They just said, well, Jesus is coming again. Why should I work? How about so that you're working when Jesus comes again and you're doing what you're supposed to do, right? We don't know when he's coming, so put your head down and work hard and provide for yourself so that you're not dependent on other people. That's loving too. There's a lot of different ways that we can display love. So I'm just going to bring this back really quick because I got to tell you, this isn't going to be the longest message I've ever given to you, but it's an important message. How's your walk with the Lord? How is that going? How are you drawing close? What does it look like to walk with the Lord? Well, here's what it looks like. Let me just give you an example of what it might look like to walk with the Lord. You know, you go through life and you have decisions to make, and you have things that come up, and are you walking with this book? Are you looking at the Word every day and asking the Lord for His leading? Are you praying to the Lord? You come to a difficult decision. Are you saying, Lord, what do you want me to do? We read a passage from the Old Testament this morning where people went into this situation without consulting the Lord first. Well, yeah, Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, I'm in a tough spot. Lord, how can I get through this? Can you help me? Show me the way. Make it clear to me. I will follow you wherever you go. I will honor you wherever you go. And you also get his guidance and his leading just from his word, telling you how to live. Are you following the way he teaches us how to live here? And are you praising him? See, praise is a great way to go through life and to win battles in life when you put God in his proper place and you walk with him. And another way to do it is walk with others who walk with the Lord. You know, when we come together, you can encourage each other. You can challenge each other. You can inspire each other. I've been inspired by people in this church who've done and said certain things, and I've just been like, wow, that was Jesus working through that person. And I want to walk like they walk. So here's my question to you. When you live your life at home, at work, at school, wherever you are you representing Jesus? Do people see you and instead, after seeing you, they say, well, I wonder if that's what Jesus is like. I want you to think about that as you go through your life. You know, am I reflecting Jesus? Am I walking so closely with him that I'm reflecting his love to everybody around me? How's your walk with the Lord? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that we can walk with you, that we know you, that we have a relationship with you. I'm thankful that we can seek your face and you teach us and you guide us and you lead us. And I pray that you would do that for every person here. There are people here who are seeking you. There are people here who are looking for answers to questions and have decisions to make. I pray, Lord, that you would guide us and lead all of us. And I pray this in your mighty name. Amen.